Good morning to all of you. As is typical for me, I like to begin showing you the pathway to where I got here this morning. I didn't scrap very many sermons this time because I had absolute, not only writer's block, but even thought block. I sat in front of the computer last night at work for almost 2 hours, and that's about what it looked like after 2 hours. That was the computer. So I actually came upon something that I kind of liked. A little bit in my internet search, and I actually forced myself to commit to it by reading the beginning of it this morning as the New Testament reading. I also had something else that I worked on this morning for a little while, and then finally found something to scrap. So, without further ado, I will bring you the lesson on the crucifixion of King Self. I will reread this morning's New Testament reading, Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death to the cross, death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. So obviously, those that were here this morning, that sounds quite familiar. When I was doing this search, to be quite honest, I don't know how I came upon this, because what I'm doing this morning is, this is a rewritten sermon from somebody else. I'll be frank with you, I have never struggled so hard to come up with a topic that I felt like I could write something about. I actually searched for a sermon on nothing. And came up with some pretty good ideas, but they were all very short. And then I was telling Mom that this one being King Self, then I had this song King Nothing now combined in my head, and it was driving me berserk this morning. But this is going to be a fairly simple sermon. Has a lot of verses to go with it, some quick thoughts to go with it. I want to introduce you to what I'm talking about. Who is this King Self? Now, first of all, I want to let you know that I'm not going to be politically correct or anything this morning. We're also talking about Queen Self, but each time I talk about that, it's not going to be he or she or queen or king or himself or herself. It's probably going to be in the masculine form, but everybody is included. To put it simply, though, this king or queen self, it's you, it's me, it's all of us. King Self was born a king because, by nature, we are all self-centered. We need a mind transplant then. We need the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a selfless mind. Philippians 2, 4 through 6 said this, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Right? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of this Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality was something with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Now that's the New International Version, which makes it changes the language just a little bit there than what I read this morning from the New King James, which I can't remember the exact quote, but it doesn't make it sound like he was saying being used to his advantage, but I like the way that that's worded, and I think it's probably true. There is nothing as empty as a self-centered life, though. And there's nothing as full as a life centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I remind you that in Philippians 2, 2, and 3, we must have one mind as the body of Christ. we must have one mind. And it said there, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not as yourselves, but above yourselves. Now, it's appropriate for us to have a good self-image, I think. But at the same time, we don't want to get too, I think one of the words I've heard before is haughty. We don't, that's H-A-U-G-H-T-Y for you kids that are snickering. We want to be humble, just like Christ was humble. What's the secret of humility, of course? As it says in Philippians 2:4, thinking of others first. We're to love one another. In John 13, chapter 34 and 35, it says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, sometimes, people aren't so easy to love. We don't necessarily accept them in their present condition, but we are to receive one another. Romans 15:7 says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. And Romans 14:1 says, receive one who is weak in faith. I'm smiling because I told my class that I was going to go over this in class this morning. And I said, when I get to that part of the sermon, you can take your quick 2-minute nap, but you have to listen to the rest of it. So I was looking around to see who all was sleeping then. So receive. What is this receive that we've heard in these verses? Receive one who is weak in the faith. When I think of receive, and I illustrated this morning, it's like, you know, if you hand me a gift, I receive that gift. And I don't think that's what we're talking about here, though. And another one that came to mind is, of course, I thought of football when I think of a receiver, but that had nothing to do with the conversation. Maybe a receiving line at a wedding. That's a little closer. You're receiving people and that want to greet you and to congratulate you. But the other versions that I looked at use a different word for receive, which I think makes it a little clearer. And what they say is accept. And when you put that more modern word in there, it kind of comes a little clearer when it says, therefore accept one another. Accept one who is weak in the faith. Does that mean that we think that it is okay if they're weak in the faith? No. But it also means we don't turn our back on those people who are weak in the faith. We accept them. We accept that they're weak in the faith, and then we take the challenge to make them a better Christian, to help them along in their challenge. We're to greet one another. We're happy to see our family. And honestly, that's something that I'm so appreciative of the elders and deacons and whoever may else be there greeting us when we come into the building. That is so important. You know, I don't want to come in here and feel like nobody cares that I'm here. I want to feel like people are happy that I'm here. We are to care for one another. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it says, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, suffering alone is kind of like working alone, right? You know, if you work all alone on a project, sometimes it can be overwhelming. But if somebody else comes in there and assists you with it, suddenly it's just much more bearable. And it's the same thing with our caring for one another. And caring, I think, frequently is thought of maybe in a negative way, where we care for one another, so what we do is we share the burdens that we have with one another. So, you know, specifically, you know, my wife is having a difficult time right now. Both of her parents are in a bad shape. You know, I share that burden with her to hopefully make that burden a little bit lighter. But we should share in our happiness together too. That's part of caring for one another. You know, rejoice in the wonderful things that my grandkids are accomplishing, or rejoice that this person got a new job, or rejoice that this person just got married. Share in that with one another because you care for one another. And also we are to forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as even as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, those positive thoughts sum up what our goal is when we want to make ourselves more Christ-like. But we're talking about this king self, right? What are the marks of this selfish life of king self? Well, king self has self-will. My will, not thy will. How can king self be that arrogant that he thinks that his will is going to be done over what God's will would be? Even Jesus had this attitude. Here's what he said, Matthew 26:39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And John 5:30, "I can myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So king self has self-will. King self is also self-seeking. He thinks about his own pleasure and glory rather than God's glory. Again, what did Jesus say? John 8:50, he said, "I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." It wasn't Jesus, despite the fact that Jesus is God. Jesus is a God. Jesus is from heaven, but he came here on earth and had an earthly childlike respect for his Father. King self is self-assertive. He's more concerned with me-ology than theology. He's self-indulgent, motivated by selfish desire and not by principle. All right, now consider these next few traits and see if I'm right. See if you recognize this in others. Or maybe you recognize it in your own king self. King self is full of self-pity, looking for attention by exaggerating their sorrows. You know, from the time I was, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, I don't know if I ever accomplished this, but I fantasized, right, and this is really, because I actually had read about this happening, which is really kind of freaky to me. I fantasized about how sorry people would feel if somebody hit a baseball back in my chest and it killed me. And they'd say, like, you know, "Oh, that poor Jason, he was such a great guy." It was out of self-pity. King self is self-conscious. He enjoys pouting. He's easily wounded. Enjoys pouting there, Allison. Somebody we work with. You know, king self is self-deprecating. Now that's me looking right in the mirror there at king self. King self always puts himself down so that others will constantly lift him up. Self-pity. There's a lot of I, though, and self-deprecation. I'm not worthy. I'm not ready. I'm not important. I'm worthless. I'm a bad person. Ironically, those who think they might be practicing humility by doing those things are actually very self-focused. It's all about the things that I am. It's one of the worst forms of pride. And in a different vein, king self can also be self-exalting, constantly praising themselves. They claim to be self-made, and then they worship their creator. King self is self-justifying, is never wrong, can't apologize, has no failures. King self is self-confident. "I can do things on my own," king self says, rather than, as Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ." You know, Peter was so confident in himself that as Jesus was predicting his betrayal, he said this to Jesus. In Luke 22:33, he says, "But he said to him, 'Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death.'" And yet that confidence was worth nothing. So remember this morning that the mind of Christ is a serving mind. In Philippians 2 and 7, we're reminded again that Christ took the form of a man. He came as a servant. God made us to serve Him and to serve others. The mind of Christ is a sacrificial mind. In Philippians 2:8, again, we're reminded that being found in an appearance as a man, he came here as a man, but he humbled himself, obedient to death. He died on that cross for us. He was crucified on the cross. So the conclusion is this. When we are exalted on the throne as King Self, Christ is on the cross. But when Christ is on the throne, we are on the cross. We must deny and crucify King Self. Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, some of us are farther along in our journey than others, but it all began the same for each and every one of us, the same way that it can begin today for you. Call upon Jesus today. Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you your sins. Be baptized for the remission of sin and acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior. That is your invitation this morning. Please accept it as we stand and sing.